Joining us now here on Reach Deep, it is Kevin Weeks of NHL Network and, of course, former Vancouver Canuck. How you doing, Weeks?
I'm great, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're trying to figure out why NHL.com hates the Canucks and just completely forgot JT Miller exists on this list. He's not a top 16 winger, according to the NHL.com poll.
You know what? It's tough because I've known when things like that happen that it fuels that and it stokes that. So it's unfortunate that that happened. I think that was an oversight. It wasn't my list, that's for sure. And I wasn't on the air for it. But that one was done from some of our folks at NHL.com. But I can tell you this. You know, I got to see JT Miller play a lot, especially here in New York with, you know, us living this close to New York City. So I've had – I mean, I must have watched him play upwards of 50 games when he's with the Rangers over the years. And then even seeing Tampa come into Madison Square Garden and play or play at Prudential Center against the Devils here too, since we live between both rinks. So he's really flourished since going to Van. I liked him in Tampa because he brought a different element to their team. But since going to Van, he's playing higher up in the lineup. He's more confident. You know, he's been on that top line quite often, along with Elias Pettersson, who's a budding superstar in this league. And, you know, Tyler Toffoli coming over. I did Toffoli's last game in at the Stadium Series at the Air Force Academy when L.A. played the Avalanche. And, of course, that subsequent trade happened with him going to Van. So that line has some great chemistry. And all of that to say, I mean, JT Miller, the way he's played so far this season, you look at that production, he's a plus 11, 72 points. I mean, he's having a monster year. And Travis Green has really done a good job of bringing the best out in JT Miller. And he's really flourished in Van. He looks really comfortable between playing with a bit of an edge and playing a skill game as well. So it's beyond an oversight, to your point. I couldn't agree with you more. That was it's tough. That's sometimes I don't like having those lists for that very reason, because you can't always squeeze everybody on. But nonetheless, independently of that, he should definitely be on there based on the season he's having up in beautiful Van City.
Yeah, and the on-ice contributions are noted for sure. You mentioned the 72 points, but him as a leader as well. I know in New York he was still trying to figure out the NHL, but in Vancouver he's turned into a leader and really changed the way that they play. And their swagger as well. When we talk about the playoffs now, you know, the play-in series is going to come up here, Kevin, and just having that confidence right off the bat of – a young team like Vancouver, I understand there's veterans on the team, but the star players, the top six, the core players are still very young. Mm-hmm. How important is having confidence at this time of the year?
Yeah, I mean, that's massive. You know, like those guys, doesn't matter who I talk to. Like, you know, whether I'm talking Jonathan Toews, Sid, like any of these guys, Gretz I was on with last week, like any one of those guys you talk to, they all tell you, and I know this myself from being in the league for so long, like you need young players to infuse their skill and their talent and, you know, just kind of their, I don't want to say carefree, but not jaded, you know, when they're really young. And I think that's one of the great things about Van in this rebuild is there's not a lot of negativity. And at times over the years, Van's had great teams, but there's kind of like a little negativity around it. Or right now it seems like everybody's in unison. Everybody's positive. The guys love going to the arena there. You know, they've created a great atmosphere. The scouts have done an excellent job by, you know, just by virtue of the players you talked about, from Elias Pettersson to Brock Besser to Quinn Hughes coming in and transforming that team. I mean, it's – and then you sprinkle in Toffoli and Pearson, you know, those guys from that 70s line from the LA Kings, and those guys having won, knowing what it means to win. And then JT Miller up on that top line and the captain, Bo Horvat, playing an honest – hard-edged two-way game. So the young legs have been great in Van. You know, those guys have helped carry that team. But, you know, I'd be moot if I also didn't say that the coaching staff and the player development, they've done a great job because, you know, I played against Travis Green a long time, and he played with Jam. You know, he played in a different era. But Greeny always came to compete, and he played with Jam. And it's one thing to be skilled in this league, but as you guys know, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you need to play with an edge. And the fact that they have that kind of swag that you talked about, but also some edge and a little, you know, a little kind of a little grr factor in their game. You know what I'm saying? Like, that goes a long way, man. So I think that they're on the right track. They're even ahead of schedule, to be honest. And that's a testament to their team and how well they've played.
They do have a bit of a swagger, these guys do. And I think that's been a big factor in some of the confidence. And I think JT Miller brought a lot of that to some of these young guys when he showed up this
totally.
Year. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things. The team has a different feel coming out of a rebuild, and I couldn't really pinpoint it, but, you know, you've been in those rooms. Is that a thing when a team just gets a swagger? They have a different confidence about them, feel that they can go into every game with a chance to win?
On any team I've been in that's had good years and highlighted by our Stanley Cup final team in 2002 with Carolina and us kind of shocking the world and going on to play against that mighty Detroit team. Honest to God, like, you need to have that. You know, and I think that's one of the challenges with back home in Canada, to be honest. Like, there's so much, shucks, voila. I mean, look at the people. Like, Michael Bublé is an shucksy when he gets on the stage. You know what I mean? Like, he gets out there and he's Michael Bublé. The great David Foster, who's from there as well, who discovered him. Like, hey, man, I'm working with the Beatles. I'm working with this person, that person, whatever. Michael Jackson, you know, it didn't matter. Like, so you need to have some of that. Like, all the people that we look up to, it's the weird thing. So many of the people that you look up to, you say it's, you know, music, it's David Bowie, it's this person, it's that person, Lady Gaga. They all have that swag. That's the whole point. So when you get a team that starts to have that and feel that, don't clip their wings. As long as they're doing that within a team concept, which those guys are, don't clip their wings. That's part of the secret sauce that allows them to say, hey, you know what? Quinn Hughes to come out of University of Michigan and say, Kel McCarr came and blew it out of the water, which he did, and he is, in Colorado. But Quinn Hughes is like, I got a lot of game too. And it's funny because I met Quinn a few times prior to his draft year, and we had him on the air with us on the NHL Network, and I emceed Jack's press conference last year when they introduced him here in Jersey. And you want those guys to have that. You want, like, not everybody's going to be as, like, understated as the great Danny and the great Hank. Not everybody's going to be that. But to be who they can be as a team, especially in the playoffs, you got to embrace that. And I think it's great. I love seeing it, and I hope nobody back in Van City doesn't try to clip their wings, because that team's cooking with gas right now. I really believe that.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Kevin Weeks, NHL Network. And, Kevin, we've had a segment on this show called So You're Saying There's a Chance, where we go through every single team in the play-in and give a reason of why they have a chance to win the cup this year. Today, we're talking Vancouver. If you had to give one reason why the Canucks have a shot at the cup, what would it be?
One reason for me is the balance right now. The balance. You've got excellent goaltending. You know, Markstrom, Marky, as you guys call him, has become, because you were patient, because you didn't try to trash him, because you didn't try to trade him too soon. You worked with him, and they've done a great job with that patience, and he's rewarded that. You know, he's become an all-star. He had a mass. Hey, listen, he, for me, was in the Vezina conversation, for sure, in the conversation. That's how well he played. And I was saying that numerous times this year. But in general, the goaltending has been great. You have balance on the back end, especially that dynamic that Quinn Hughes adds. You have the size, and Tyler Myers is a veteran guy. Tanev is healthy and such a stabilizing guy. He's a veteran now compared to when he came in the league, and they did a great job with him. But you got balance on the back end. And then if you look at your lineup up front, like, I look at those four lines, you can go into any game, especially strength down the middle. You know, you guys call him Petey. You got him at the one spot. You got Bo Horvat at the second spot. You got Gaudette. Like, Brandon Sutter's a fourth-line center. Like, that's a good team. Like, Brandon Sutter's a good player. And I know he's had some injury history, but he's a good player when he's right and healthy. So that one thing that comes to mind for me for them is balance. And also balance between playing an offensive game and defending. And that's why I was giving the coaching staff, you know, Manny and Greeny and the entire coaching staff a lot of credit, because they've been pressed upon these young players and the skilled guys to say, hey, boys, you know, it's cool that you're all skilled and, you know, you ran these numbers in junior and in college and everything else, but we got to defend in the NHL too. And you know what? They're a plus 11 right now in their goal differential, the Canucks are. And for a young team to be, what is it, 9 games above 500 and a plus 11 goal differential right now, that's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. I'm impressed with that. So those are the reasons, that balance across the lineup and in their game, stylistically, offense to defense, physical to skill. There's a lot of balance on that team right now. That's a word that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, it should be a good series against Minnesota when it does happen, especially if Minnesota keeps playing with the jazz that they had before the pause, especially with Kevin Fiala.
True.
You broke the news yesterday of Lindy Ruff being the head coach of the New Jersey Devils. How did they land on Ruff, especially with, you know, guys like Gallant and Laviolette, some guys who have had recent success being out there?
That's a fair question. You know, I'm not at liberty to speak for them, being the Devils, right, even though I finished my career with them, but I'm not at liberty to speak on their behalf. But when you read the tea leaves, one of the factors was familiarity. And you know that that's a common factor all the time in the NHL. But, you know, I played for Peter Laviolette in Carolina. Pete's obviously a great coach. I don't think anybody could argue how good of a coach Gerard Gallant has become, especially his impact on what they did in Vegas. It's historic. And, you know, Lindy's been a great coach and excellent coach the majority of his career too, especially going back to Buffalo. But I have to think familiarity played a role in this one, really. I think maybe in the case of Peter Laviolette, maybe it was a bit of a financial decision because his price tag would have been, I think, much higher than ultimately what Lindy Ruff ended up signing for. And then relationships, to go back to my first point, when I was first coming into the league, Tommy Fitzgerald, who was great to me, and Lindy Ruff was our assistant coach at the time of the Florida Panthers. So those guys have, you know, a pre-existing history. So maybe that was a factor in that decision. Those are the two factors, I think. But the driving force, in my understanding, was that relationship between Tommy Fitzgerald and Lindy Ruff. So they landed on Lindy, and the Devils landed on removing the interim tag, as I broke yesterday. And now Tommy Fitzgerald is their GM, and I think exec vice president, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not sure if they're going to add anything else to their hockey ops department or not. They've had a lot of flux and a lot of changeover in that capacity. So we'll see where that goes. But nonetheless, it was, let me tell you, here in Metro New York, we live on the Jersey side. It was wild news. It was wild news yesterday. I'll put it to you that way. After I broke that news, Twitter went pretty wild in general. And we have three NHL teams. And if you count Philly just down the turnpike, maybe an hour and a half south of us, there's four NHL teams right around here. So that was kind of a powder keg announcement or story release, I guess, if you could say, me breaking it yesterday. So it's welcome news to NHL fans to have different stuff to chew on right now in the pause.
And New Jersey is such an interesting, you know, organization right now, because under Ray Shero, we saw them make some bold moves. They wanted to be competitive right off the bat. But this is still the ownership group that, you know, trust the process was a saying with the Philadelphia 76ers, the same owners of the New Jersey Devils. So what's the plan going forward here, Kev? Are they going to rebuild again, or are they going to try to retool and try to build on the fly?
I'm really not sure. That's a great question, by the way. I'm really not sure. You know, I don't think there hasn't been a clear, concise path. I think that's the easiest way to say. And I know that there is some fluidity. I mean, you know, we have to allow for fluidity in general in life, but especially by way of the pause and COVID and everything else. But this predates that too. So if you look at the Canucks, for example, like, they've been able to kind of accelerate their rebuild. I don't think anybody, you know, anywhere in Richmond right now is upset about that. In Richmond, BC, not Virginia. You know, I don't think anybody's upset about that. So, but they've kind of married it together, the Canucks, as an example, by drafting and developing good pieces internally and organically, like Quinn Hughes, like Elias Pettersson, like Brock Besser, like Bo Horvat, and then adding some pieces like a Tanner Pearson and Tyler Toffoli and JT Miller, as we talked about off the top of the show. So they've been able to complement that nicely and kind of marry the two together, if you will. And then Philadelphia Flyers, they've done a nice job too. Like, that U-turn that they made, they were quote-unquote rebuilding. They were a little stagnant. Von Hextall's approach was a lot more decidedly patient. And Chuck came in, and Chuck just shook up the snow globe. He's like, nah, man, we're not waiting that long. We have these great pieces, starting with Carter Hart, you know, a Western boy out of Alberta. They're like, yo, Carter, get in the net. We'll live with the lumps. You're that good. CHL goalie of the year twice. You know, get in the net. And, you know, I was in touch with him a couple of days ago, and, you know, they have a stabilizing guy with him too, and Brian Elliott, and then they added some young guys that they drafted, and we're seeing some of those young guys play, be it Frost, you know, like, it's really interesting to watch right now what they've done. Then they've added a couple of free agents, so not really dissimilar to the Canucks. So for the Devils, you know, it's hard to kind of kick salt when people try, you know? Like, they tried, they had big swings last year, and they took big swings and big cuts. So you got to respect that instead of just hiding behind salary cap, but they just didn't manifest the way they hoped they would. So I think now for them, if it were me, it's about just building that team. Like, you guys see that out west, especially in the Pacific. You know, you look at all the good young players that you guys have on your roster. You look at the ones Edmonton finally has, supported by the right pieces on their roster. You know, Calgary, they've got their pieces in Monahan and Goudreau as far as young guys go. And, you know, I can go down the Western Conference for you, but that goes a long way, man. And I think the Devils have to kind of go through that process, that part of the process, before they start adding pieces without having good young foundational pieces in place outside of Nico Hischier, really, and maybe Mackenzie Blackwood in the net and Jack Hughes. They need more. So it's going to take more time. I think it's a longer rebuild, at least as of now, given where they're at.
Yeah, it's they're going to have a few more picks to deal with as well, and even Vancouver's potentially this year to work with. Weeks, we could talk all day with you, man. Really appreciate the time, but we got to let you go. Thanks for making time for us today.
No problem, man. Thank you, guys, and thanks to all the great fans out there in Van City, man. Appreciate you being an NHL fan. Thanks a lot.